back to part one of the houses built on rocks, sand, and clouds. And clouds, what I'm really saying is fables. So we know we're going to look at the Proverbs about the house built on the rock and sand when the storm comes. And there's nothing about there about clouds. I can also think of water as being unstable, cloud. And so when people have nothing to do with the Word, they're just creating doctrines. These are foundations that have no foundation. They just drift around. This is kind of associated with a teaching done back in 2016 in two parts. Does hell exist? And that's on the November 9 and November 16. There's going to be more elaboration, and it's not on hell necessarily, but it is on truth. And so for people who want truth, this teaching is for. For people who are happy with traditions of men, you're not going to, this is going to offend you. And if you like certain famous people and you're disciples of these famous people who I'm going to talk about, and if you're going to get offended, just turn it off. But this is for people who want the actual truth of what Yahweh says and not what men says. So we'll get in beginning with 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. Foundational verse that we'll look at again. For there will be a season.
Wait a minute. Oh, go ahead.
There will be a season when the helpful teachings they will not endure, but according to their own covetings will unto themselves heap up teachers, because they have an itching ear, and from the truth indeed their ear will they turn away, while unto stories they will turn themselves aside. And so what we're to look at, who is really behind the teachers? It is the people with the itching ears. And it's the same with Bible translations. So we have to understand Bible translations are made to be sold. If it doesn't say what the people want it to say, they're not going to do what?
Buy it.
So there's no use in even publishing it. So many times they have to compromise in order to give the people what they want. So when we look at error, I used to think it was the pastors or the teachers, but really the teachers come secondary, because it says here, for there will be a season when the helpful teachings they will not endure. That is the sheep. But according to their own covetings, will they heap unto them what? Teachers. So they create a void, and the teacher walks in and fills that void. And once he finds out what they want to hear, then he tells them what they want to hear. No different than a restaurant. So think of, if you want business for a restaurant, you give the people what they want. And then you make money. Yeah? The regular business sense. So we got to realize with Bible translations, there's really no difference. So what we're going to do is go back to the heart of things and find out the corruption that is just everywhere and what we call the pseudo-Christianity. Pseudo means false Christianity. It has nothing to do with Christianity. Now, we can see this, and you know, coveting is interesting. Is equals a desire for what is forbidden. So many people want things, and so if you're a homosexual and you're not going to repent, you want to go to a church, and if you want to go to church also, you're going to want a church that allows homosexuals to come in without repenting. And that's the Methodist Church. So those are people who cave to what the masses and what is popular. But the greatest teacher we look at, the people heaped up, was Genesis 3:4. Satan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Adam and Eve were saying, if you eat of the tree of good knowledge, you're going to die. Dying, you die. Well, that's not, you know, for itching ears, that doesn't sound good. So what the adversary promises them in verse 4, chapter 3, verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not die. So she had an itching ear. She found a teacher.
Wow.
And the teacher is Satan. And as you realize today, this same teaching is taught in all of Christianity. Nobody ever dies. For Elohim doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then shall your eyes be opened, and you shall become like Elohims. And anybody who is immortal is like an Elohim. So the teachings today is that men are immortal, so they're like Elohims, knowing good and evil. Yahweh says you're going to die, he says you're not going to die. Now we go to verse 19. Yahweh says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return to the ground. Well, wait a minute here. The church, people today don't want to return to the ground. They want to go to heaven when you die, to the ground, because thereof was thou taken, from dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. How much simpler can it be? Here's death, here's life, the tree of life. You rejected the tree of life, you took the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die and return to dust. That is the story. But what we're going to find out is that is not the story in Christianity. These are just absolute foundational, undisputed things that are available. We know in Paul, and this is real common, that people with itching ears, it's always the people driving matter. When the Apostle Paul was alive, we know in Galatians, people want to get circumcised, and he writes a whole epistle to try to stop them from going back to the law. And so, in his time frame, people already have itching ears going for another doctrine, and they have the teachers to do it. And he says, your enemy have I become telling you the truth? And so, right now, when we tell the truth in this teaching, people will be offended because it goes against their itching ears. So you have a choice. You can keep your itching ears, turn this off, or you can get delivered from itching ears and go for the truth. 2 Corinthians, this is Paul, 2 Corinthians 14:15. I exceedingly love you, am I the less loved? Why, he's reproving them. How about in 2 Timothy 1:15, Paul, all Asia turned from me. Now, if he was becoming a teacher for itching ears, that would have never happened.
Right.
Because you adapt yourself to what people want to hear. People do not want truth as a whole. What they want is confirmation that what they believe is true. And Mary's a virgin. So we're going to go, here's about 16 different lies that are taught every day in the church. Mary's a virgin, so Protestants will see that right off the bat. You pray to Mary. Mary's the mother of God. Unconditional love. The Pope is infallible. We do not have itching ears. If you ask any Christian, just ask him, do you have itching ears? Nobody's ever going to admit to say, I have itching ears, because I want to believe what I want to believe. Death puts me in heaven. My Bible is accurate. Hell does exist. Man is a spirit. Man has a soul. Jesus is God, the Trinity. Heaven's my future home. We can't prophesy. Our works don't matter after salvation. So these are just all lies that are all part of what we would call pseudo-Christianity. Now, when you're looking at the word, this is food that we eat. If you eat the wrong food, it's called malnutrition. Malnutrition means I'm not getting the right nutrients. So we know that people can be obese and be malnourished. And so if you eat French fries and hamburgers as a diet, you're going to be malnourished. The same way with the Christian church. The Christian church, if you have wrong stuff you're feeding, you are malnourished. And you can say, well, no, everybody believes this. You know? And this is why you're not hungry, because you're full. I'm full of the wrong nutrients. I have no appetite because I'm full. I just ate a bunch of French fries. Healthful teaching, remember, there will be a season when the healthful teachings, they will not endure. Healthful is to be in good health. Wow. These are healthful teachings. What you've got is doctrines of demons. We were born into this field of doctrine of demons that are surrounding us, which I'm going to show you very simply. Malnutrition, people thought mercury was beneficial. They took mercury treatment, it was treated for inflammation, ulcers, warts, syphilis. As we know, mercury kills you. So wrong things that are called nutrients, that are not nutrients, will destroy you or really harm you. Milk was taken for ulcers, which is the worst thing you can do. Butter was put on burns, worst thing you can do. Bloodletting, you know, when you got sick for heat, you start drawing the blood out of somebody. And like one person said, what's the downfall of bloodletting?
Death.
Death. So you're trying to heal the person. These are all medical practices, you know, endorsed by physicians at one particular time. So when we go over these ministers, you've got to realize they are the teachers that people have set up with their itching ears. So they're just filling the void of what people want. But before we go there, we're going to go to Matthew 7:24, and this is the foundation about the house built on the rock.
Never realized that 2 Timothy 4:3 it said healthful.
Yeah, healthful.
Healthy. Okay.
And as you would find out, the Bible that you read, you must ask yourself, why do you read it? Is it the most accurate out there? If you say, I have no idea, then obviously you're not a hungry individual. And I will tell you, and we're going to look at different versions of what people have consumed, and by consuming them for generations, they are all stunted and actually are propagating mercury to other people through their ministries. But 24, everyone therefore who heareth my words and doeth them, this is the word of Yahweh, shall be like, you got to do it. So here's, you got two things, I hear and I do. Shall be likened to a prudent man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the streams came, and the wind blew and rushed against the house, and it fell not. Why? Because you're built on the rock. For it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these my words and doeth them not, covet to prophesy. No, we don't have to do that anymore. We're not going to do that. Speak in tongues and interpret, we're not going to do that either. So here is the Lord saying, do this, and you're going to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Here's your house. It's built on the sand in these areas. And doeth it not, shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the streams came, and the wind blew and dashed against that house, and it fell, and the fall thereof was great. So you get to see, as life is very simple, those are the two houses. One's doing it, which that's our objective. and ones who hear it, but they're not going to do it. And you're going to find out people who are in blatant rejection of what Yahweh says by the doctrines they propagate. And then we'll also talk about the people who build their house in the clouds. And the house in the clouds are the people who just fabricate things and they make things up, and it just floats around, and most of these doctrines are. And we can see that with Mary's a virgin, which obviously is not true at all according to the scriptures. You pray to Mary, not true also. Mary the mother of God, well, yeah, she has to be if Jesus is God. But a Protestant will never do that. You know, so, and it's really called Mary the God-bearer. And so your inconsistency is deceptive, where you lie to yourself. You can't have one and not the other.
What do you mean by propagate?
Propagate is to put into action.
Yeah. Or multiply.
Yeah, multiply, propagate. Make sure you don't hit those stands. Okay, we go to chapter 16, 5 through 12. No, wait, I was on the wrong. No, we go to Matthew 15, 1 through 9. First. And this is a great illustration of what I'm trying to communicate. Let's see where we are.
15:1-9.
Now, so the doctrines that I've just mentioned cannot be found in this word. Christ is also going to mention that washing of hands has nothing to do with what my Father says. But what my Father does say, you're not doing. And that's exactly the house built on the sand. 15:1, and then there come unto Yahushua from Jerusalem Pharisees and scribes, saying, wherefore do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? And he answered and said unto them, wherefore do you also transgress the commandment of Yahweh for the sake of your tradition? For Yahweh said, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that reviles father or mother, let him surely die. But ye say, and we're going to find out a lot of this, Yahweh says this, and you say just the opposite. Yahweh says, dust thou art, to dust you will return. You're going to say, nobody ever dies.
They're in a better place.
Yeah, they're in a better place. They went home to be with the Lord. And you're saying the exact opposite. No different than the scribes and Pharisees, because there is no scripture that says what you're saying. 5. But ye that whoever shall say to his father or his mother a gift, whatsoever out of me thou mightest be profited, in no wise shall honor his father or his mother. And so you have canceled the word of Yahweh for the sake of the traditions. Hypocrites, well prophesy concerning you Isaiah, saying, this people with their lips do honor me, and with their heart far off holdeth from me, but in vain do they pay devotion unto me, teachings for teachings the commandments of men. And that's what we're going to be studying, the commandments of men. And that's, the teachers are there filling the itching ears. Now we go to 16:5-12. You want to read 5 through 12, Aaron?
And the disciples coming to the other side had forgotten to take loaves. And Yehoshua said unto them, mind and beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they began to deliberate among themselves, saying, because loaves we took not. And observing it, Yehoshua said, why are ye deliberating among yourselves, ye little of faith, because loaves you have not? Not yet perceive ye, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye received, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many hampers ye received. How is it ye perceive not that not concerning loaves spake I unto you, but beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they that he had not bid them beware of the leaven of the loaves, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. keep going.
No, it's just real simple. The traditions of men and the itching ears, and that's what this, the Pharisees and the scribes end up doing. The King James Version of the Bible has been around for so long. There's an old King James Version and the new King James Version. Now, you would ask, and the King James Version is very popular. Probably billions out there, or multi-millions put out there, when it's actually very wrong in so many places. Which I'm going to show you. So the question is, why would people read something, and why would ministers, as their examples, read from this version? And why they're reading from the version is because the people
want it.
They want the King James, even though the what it says is wrong in so many different places. And generationally, they will consume this. And so we're just going to give you a little example of that.
That's why
I was raised, on the King James, the old King James Bible, through the Way Ministry, and let me see here, and had so much false information that is, which if you've got other versions, junk that piece of junk. And you do have so many really good versions or better versions than that. And so you guys say, then why are you keeping this? Because you have itching ears. That's why you keep it. It's your problem. And the woman caught in adultery. So let's just say this. How long, it's completely in the King James Bible. I was raised with that story. Here is Adam Clark. He did a commentary on the Bible, and he died in 1832. So that's almost 200 years ago. So he did his commentary. It's about 1825 or 30. So how long did we know the woman caught in adultery? There's a problem with this. He knew it. And let's just see what he has to say. 1830s. Oh man, I just tore a page. But this is not the 1800s. This is the John 7:53-8:11, and what he's going to put in his notes almost 200 years ago. Upon review of the whole evidence respecting this disputed clause, we may safely conclude that it is preponderance in favor of his genuineness. This section contains an account of the woman taken in adultery form no part of the Gospel of John. It is wanting in the two oldest codexes, the Vaticus and the Synopsis, and also in Alexandra, and he goes listing all the others. The critical editors, Tischendorf and Tregels, omit this section in their edition of the New Testament. So this has been known for hundreds of years. And let me go right now. It may, however, be observed that a perfect connection that subsists between verse 752, with chapter 8, verse 12. And this is where they inserted it. If you remove this, everything flows just fine. And you see this, it was artificially inserted in here. All the intermediate verses have been omitted by the manuscripts of the first antiquity and authority. So you have to say, why is it in the King James Bible? Because people want it. People want it. Now, another verse. And this is in the King James. It's Ephesians 3:9. And it's still in the New King James. They still, because people want it. So the King James publishers are doing what people want. They're not leading you astray. They're giving you what you want. If they took this out, you might not buy their editions. Now, in our word, and by the way, the Rotherham, done in 1902, has there is no woman caught adultery in it. So fidelity. And this is going to say everything was created by Jesus Christ. And by Jesus Christ is not part of the text. But they're going to keep it in the King James and the New King James. And here's what he says in the 1830s. Yeah, 3:9. Ephesians 3:9. But the words by Christ are wanting, and he goes to A, B, C, D, F, G, and several other also in the Syriac. Also, seven of the fathers, Gerschbach, has thrown the words out of the text, and Professor White says they are indisputably spurious. The text, therefore, should be read, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden in God who created all things. Not by Jesus Christ. And so by Jesus Christ validates the Trinity doctrine that they want to keep. And so it remains, not in the newer version, but still remains in the King James and the New King James. Why? Because people want it there.
Because they want a God they can see.
Well, that's their... And then if you say anything about it, you're going to be, you know, they're in their happy place. You just leave them alone. But if you want truth, you don't deal with the King James Bibles, period. Next one is 1 John 5:7. And
do we read
3:9? In the Rotherham.
Do we actually read 3:9?
No.
Shreds of covenant.
Yeah. I'll read it to you in the King James. 1 John, maybe I ought to do that.
John, what?
5:7. And then I'll show you what.
Oh, okay.
And actually, the companion Bible done by E.W. Bullinger, which he was a companion to the King James, completely agrees. The woman called adultery is not there. This is 1910. By Jesus Christ is not in the text, and this other section we're going to see is not in the text, and so he makes that in his note. But King James is what everybody wanted. 5:7. Let's see, 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So it's not going to be in the Rotherham.
You want to read the Rotherham? So,
yeah, go ahead and read the Rotherham.
Because three are they who are bearing witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood.
And these three agree in one.
These three are unto.
And so we're going to see this addition. He knew in 1830s, Adam Clark. For there are three that bear record. And then they got in brackets. In heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, bracket, all that wrong. The Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we witness the witness of man, let me see here. Any man may see in examination of the words that these included in brackets, which are wanting in the manuscripts and versions, be omitted. There is no want of connection. They have nothing to do with this, with the scripture. The companion, Bullinger, will say, the text read the Spirit and the water, omitting all the words in heaven or in earth, inclusive. The words are not found in any Greek manuscript before the 16th century. They were first seen in this margin of some Latin copies, thence they have crept into the text. They are still in the King James Bibles, new and old. Why? Itching ears. They want that. But it shows you this is not for lack of information. This is 200 years we've known this stuff. Now, we go to Wayne Ministry. So here's an example where I was brought to the Wayne Ministry. He used the King James Version. And this was in the 1970s, which is just a bad mistake by doing that. But that's what, and today the same organization is still using the old King James Version of the Bible, even knowing all these errors, because the itching ears or the traditions of men have been very comfortable. If a compass, the King James Version of the Bible, let's say is off 25 degrees as a compass, then you've got to monitor and recorrect everything that you're reading, because so much of it's wrong. It wasn't in the text. Why would you even do that? Why would you? But that's what you've got. You got a compass that's 25% out of phase, or off. But people do that. And here's just an example. Let's go to the King James Version, Psalms 16:10, and I'll read out of the King James. Very, very familiar verse. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy holy one to see corruption. Well, we're going to be discussing later on, probably in part two, that there is no hell. There is no Hebrew word for hell. There's no Greek word for hell. In the Rotherham Bible, the word hell does not exist. In the in Young's Bible, the word hell does not exist. It's in all the other Bibles. And why is that? Because people have itching ears. They want hell in their Bible. Why? I have no idea. But you're going to see this. It's the word Sheol. And that's the Rotherham going to have Hades, but it represents Sheol. But we're going to see an example of what the houses that are built in the clouds by this error. Here's Kenneth Copeland. Now, let's give you an example of how big this guy is. Let's see. Through a social media outlet, Kenneth Copeland Ministries had logged 1.4 million plus fans on Facebook, registered more than 260,000 followers on Twitter, and has more than 5.3 million views on YouTube. The ministry averaged about 41,000 views per month on its official blog, and the podcast has nearly 3.8 million downloads since its inception in 2015. This is from their website. And so all you got to do is go to Google and say, Jesus going to hell, Kenneth Copeland Ministry. And here comes the article. Did Jesus go to hell? After the crucifixion, Jesus' body was placed in a tomb and his spirit went to hell. It's the word Sheol and there's nothing about spirit. There, Jesus suffered all the torments of hell that we would have suffered. Jesus' submission to death was complete. He experienced it to the ultimate degree so mankind would never have to be punished. Now, let's think of this. This is the doctrine in the clouds. What a surprise the enemy received. The enemy thought he'd won the victory when Jesus came to hell. What he failed to understand was that hell could not hold the righteous Son of God. Jesus, who embodied the sinless nature of his Father God, had committed no sin, so he was not deserving of punishment. Satan, death, and hell could not hold him. Well, they've got probably Satan, death, and hell all together. The Spirit of God resurrected Jesus from hell and the grave by the power of God. Satan, who thought he was conquered, became the conqueror. Jesus became victorious over sin, hell, and death. When Jesus completed this job he had to do, there was nothing hell could do to keep him. Jesus stripped Satan of his power over death. Now we can accept Jesus as the Lord and live with God for eternity, never be separated from him again. So Jesus went to hell. Nothing to do with his book. It has nothing to do with this book. Because we know that Jesus went to where?
To Tartarus.
Went to Sheol.
Sheol.
He just said the body should not see corruption. Everybody who dies go where?
Sheol.
To Sheol. This is also in Acts 2. This is the psalm. The word is Sheol, which has nothing to do with a place where people are alive.
Tormented.
Or tormented. Satan is not there. enemies are not there, his deal. It's Sheol, all the dead go there. All dead go there. Now, we could go, people who have been to hell and back. That's all you have to do is people who have gone to hell on Google. We have all heard of stories of people who have experienced heaven and lived to tell the tale, but not all near-death experiences are that positive. Countless people have been to hell either through a dream, a vision, or a near-death experience. There is no hell, according to this word of Yahweh. There is Sheol. There's the Valley of Ben-Hinnom, or Valley of Hinnom. There's a lake of fire that people will be thrown into after they're resurrected. But everybody's in Sheol. Here is Bill Wise. On November morning in 1998, he wrote a book, author of 23 Minutes in Hell. You're going to write a book. Many people wondered if hell is hot or cold. He shares that he experienced an intense heat and seemed too hot for life to even survive. And so we know Galatians 1, 6 through 9 says if you add anything to the word, you are what?
Cursed.
I said over and over again, these people are bringing additional information to what Yahweh's book says. There is no hell. And now you're starting to describe it. How about Reverend Kenneth Hagin? He went to hell a couple times. Reverend Hagin shares many descriptions of hell, similar to others, including intense darkness, unbearable heat, strange creatures, and great flames of fire. And you got Jennifer Perez. You got 10 people here. Jennifer first led to heaven, and then she went to hell. After that, she recalls finding herself standing ashamed in front of God. Sulfur. She felt an unquenchable thirst as she smelled the intense smell of sulfur. And then Matthew Botsford. And like other people we have mentioned, Matthew Botsford was far from Christianity when he had a near-death experience in hell. Sister
Faustina.
Oh, yeah. Is one of the earliest records of a Polish nun shares similar sevens to other individuals we have discussed. And so what you're doing is you're propagating a lie for itching ears. She described hell as endless torment, impenetrable darkness, and a terrible suffocating smell. Ian McCormick, it's all near-death experience except for Kenneth Hagin too. And hell began with an encounter with a deadly jellyfish. Probably right in the hospital. So you got this bizarre. Here is Tamara Ladosh. At the age of 15,
Nauru
attempted to take her own life. She felt herself leave her body as she fell at unstoppable speed. And in her space of darkness, there was absolutely no light. She saw a fiery pit as she stood in her surroundings. Howard Storm, a strict atheist, time his near-death experience. Nearly died following surgery. He calls dark figures in a dark room and demons above all, endless torment. Sister Mendez, during a short life, recorded several experiences in hell. She equated these to visions rather than near-death encounters. She tells of tortured, putrid odors, demons in a pit of fire. Father, I can't pronounce the last name, had a near-death experience, and during his brief time in hell, he says he experienced an unbearable heat, agony, filled screaming, and unceasing torture. And there it goes. Regardless of your current religious belief, these stories of people who have been in hell are certainly terrifying. So this book means nothing. What these people have done it because they said it.
So if you want to learn about this place, you got to go to their books.
Well, the other thing too is no different than Joseph Smith, and that's the Mormon Church. He had an angel who gave him information. Oh, okay, let me see here. Now, the next step is heaven. So, we're going to kind of end this with Jeremiah, part one, to show you this is nothing new. Jeremiah 42, 1 through 3. Everybody will guarantee to say they want to hear from God and they will do what God says. Just like we're going to see here in Jeremiah, Yahweh. And this is, as you know, in the book of Jeremiah, people were carried away by Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah's left with a remnant. People came in and destroyed Nebuchadnezzar's general, and so they thought, we better flee to Egypt because Nebuchadnezzar is going to be really mad at this.
What chapter, sorry?
42, Jeremiah 42, 1 to 3. Then drew near all the captains of the forces, and Johanan, son of Kareth, and Jezaniah, son of Hoseiah, and all the people from the least unto the greatest, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let our supplication, when we beseech thee, fall prostrate before thee, and pray thou in our behalf unto Yahweh thy Elohim, in behalf of all this remnant, for we are left a few out of many, just as thine own eyes do behold us. What Yahweh thy Elohim may tell you, the way wherein we should walk, and the thing that we should do. And Jeremiah the prophet said unto him, them I have heard, behold me, praying unto Yahweh your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that the whole thing that Yahweh shall answer you, I will tell you, and keep back from you nothing. They said for unto Jeremiah, Yahweh be against us as a witness, true and faithful, if according to all the word which Yahweh thy God has sent thee unto us, so we will not perform, whether for good or for ill, unto the voice of Yahweh our God, for which we are sending thee unto him, will we hearken. So they say, we will promise to do what Yahweh tells us to do, to the end we may be well with us, because we will hearken unto the voice of Yahweh our God. Let's just say that, you know, look at Genesis 3:14. From dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. We're not going to hearken to that. We're going to say that's the body. People don't die. There is a hell. And you say, well, what Hebrew word? Well, I'm not going to get involved with that. There's the hell in my Bible someplace. Jeremiah goes. 10 days later, he responds in Jeremiah 43:1-3. And it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of Yahweh, he says, stay here. Don't go to Egypt. You have to just read the chapter 42. Speak unto the people all the words of Yahweh their Elohim, with which Yahweh their Elohim has sent him unto them. Even all these words, then spake Azariah, son of Hosea, and Johanan, son of Kareth, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, falsely are thy speaking. This is today. The itching ears.
We're going to Egypt.
Yeah. What we show you in the Word, we're going to show you what the Hebrew words are, what the Greek words are. It doesn't matter, because you like these teachers, and you're going, and you like your Bible that you've got, and truth is really secondary. So you want your castles in the sky. Falsely art thou speaking. Yahweh our Elohim hath not sent thee to say, you shall not enter Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch, son of Neriah, is goading thee on against us, that he may deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans to put us to death or take us away captive in Babylon. This is called compromise bias. And so what they were expecting to hear is, go to Egypt. And they would have said, you know, I want to go to heaven when I die. Don't tell me I don't go to heaven when I die. And on and on and on. Now we go to 44. 15 and 19. And here's these same people. Then all the men who knew that their wives were burning incense to other gods, and all the women standing by a great convocation with all the people who were dwelling in the land of Egypt and Pathros, made answer unto Jeremiah, saying, that's, by the way, they took Jeremiah hostage to Egypt. So you have to read the case. As touching the word which thou hast spoken unto us in the name of Yahweh, we are not going to hearken unto thee. And so, Yahushua said, and by giving a parable, which we're going to maybe do next week, about the rich man Lazarus, who's his audience? Church. Pharisees and Sadducees, who were lovers of what?
Money.
Money. It says that. This is to you guys. And he told them, you know, in the parable, send this guy to my brothers, and then they don't do what I've done. It's a parable. It has nothing to do with any reality check. And he says to them, if they will not listen to Moses, neither will they acknowledge somebody who was raised from among the dead. And so we think a miracle will convert somebody? No. And we're going to see right here, Jeremiah told them they're going to be taken over by the Chaldeans, and they were taken over by the Chaldeans. He was a prophet. But watch what happens. 17, but we will certainly do the whole thing that hath gone forth out of our own mouth by burning incense to the Queen of the Heavens. That's, let's just say, that's what Catholics, you know, Mary, you're going to pray to Mary. You're going to say that she's a virgin when she's not a virgin. You're going to say she's the mother of God when she's not the mother of God. You're going to pray to maybe other saints. You're going to say the Pope's infallible. And every Protestant would say, oh my God. But your Protestants do the same thing. It's just in a different capacity. And pouring out to her drink offerings. You know, we got three gods. We got God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, God the Father. And point out their drink offerings, just as we and our fathers and our kings and our princes did in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem. Then were we filled with bread when we were giving offerings to the Queen of the Heavens, everything was good.
Yeah.
And because prosperous and calamity saw we none, whereas from the very time we ceased burning incense to the Queen of the Heavens and pouring out to her drink offerings, we have lacked everything, and by sword or by famine have we been consumed. There you go. And that is Ishianaires. They're going to believe here's the word of Yahweh. Comes through Jeremiah. It's rejected. Truth is not important. And you're going to go where you're going to go because it's already preconceived. So we'll begin part two next week. And that will be dealing with spirit, soul, and body, heaven, in relationship to hell. And a lot of other things that are just part of that.
But you will be here.
The pseudo Christianity. But one thing I have to say, if you want to know where anybody is, you know, who has any prosperity, is what Bible do you read from? Translation will say everything.
When you say who has any prosperity,
to well, maybe they can't afford any Bible. So okay. I'm talking to people who might be in Africa or Asia, and they got one Bible to their name. They don't have a choice.
Okay.
Now, you can always go to our website and download the Rotherham Bible, the Young's free on your phone, the Young's Bible, which is second, the American Standard Bible, which is third. And you'll have some kind of foundation. The Rotherham is a necessity. And you can use your other thing or buy a Rotherham. If you're not, you're just going to be going through building your house on the clouds is what it comes down to. So we'll hear from our Heavenly Father according to 1 Corinthians 14, our word of prophecy. Each day matters to me. Each day that you supplicate to me or you respond to me, you meditate with me, you commune with me, we have a relationship that's very important. So keep on your knees, in your heart at least, and walk with me and commune with me, and I will supplicate with you and answer your supplications and guide your footsteps as you request and bring you deliverance as you request. But you must humble yourself to my word and walk out on my word and not the doctrines of men. Amen. See you next week.
Amen.
Thank you.